So I give my child a shield and a mask. Will it be accepted? As science shows, the virus can be contracted through the eyes. Young children will not adhere to social distancing rules. Can I get a comment on this, please? Okay.
It is the parent's choice if they want to give the child a shield. Mm-hmm. But we are saying, according to the medical personnel, it is not totally necessary. But I cannot tell a parent if you want to have the extra protection because, Corey, everybody is anxious.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in the lockdown, before we came, I know you probably would have been working and you never stopped working, but some of us would have been working from home. We were a little hesitant when we first came out. So parents, they're their pride and joy that they had protected all this time. This is like 9-10 weeks. And now we are telling them to come out there. So they will want to protect them as much as possible. But the best thing is soap and water, proper hygiene, and that is what we will want persons to maintain constantly. So we don't want them to get complacent and feel a little comfortable because I have on a mask and shoe, I can do other things. But we need to teach them the correct way. And we need the parents, we need the guardians, we need the members of the staff, we need the principals to work to teach them the correct way. So if you want to protect your child, now we won't expect you to put the extra thing on them so they're uncomfortable, but we're saying that we're talking with the Ministry of Health and we are not putting them in any situation that they in any way should be endangered.
All right, because you said that, I'm going to read this one before we go back to the lines then. This one says, hi, good morning. Class 4, yes, and eventually the others. But practically 90% of schools have large numbers. What considerations will be put in place to minimize this large number of students congregating? The young ones, particularly students under 5, there is a great concern with children in this early childhood age group understanding and conforming to the recommended guidelines when at school. A greater concern is the health issue of having such youngsters wear masks for extended periods. Are we cognizant that education is not compulsory for these young ones? Has there been any consideration of placing taps outdoors by entry of schools rather than requiring daily sanitizing? Has the ministry put a grant aside for hand sanitizer, which will be in demand in each school? I don't know if you can remember all your questions. I could break them down one by one if you want, because it's a mouthful. So they're saying, what considerations put in place to minimize large gatherings of students when they're at school? So starting from congregating.
Okay, large gatherings, and that is why some schools, they have organized their class fours in the manner that they have, because now we're dealing from the 15th of June until the 24th of June when we have the official end of school, well, until they do their exams, because once they do their exams, they can go back to the online. So until the 14th of July, that the school will have persons supervising to stop the congregation of these students. There are some schools that have pretty large numbers of persons doing the common entrance, but they're not all going to be together in one area at one time. And that is why we have them separated by classes. That is why we said that we need a 6-foot area, 40 feet square around them, so that they will be separated from the others. And once there's a protocol in how they will be getting their snack, they're getting a free snack and juice from school meals, how they go to get that school meal, how they go to the bathroom, and then how they're dismissed from the school. So in this interim, and for these 4 weeks, we have strict protocols in place that the principals and the teachers and the ancillary staff will be following. We will have to work on the protocols for these young ones returning back to school. I've already had discussions, and we have already started with the Ministry of Health. I know that the pediatricians that they're concerned in terms of returning back to school, CARFA, PAHO, and the World Health Organization, we have to follow those guidelines so that we will be able to work out for September how that will look, what the picture will look like returning back to school. So those guidelines will be coming. It is mandatory for students to be at school from four and a half. Mm-hmm. And if you are a nursery child, less than that, yes, you don't necessarily have to go to school. That is your choice. But if we have facilities and arrangements for you to have the extra tuition and we have protocols in place, then it will be for the parent or the guardian to make that decision on their own. But we expect that from 4 and a half that you should be in school. The idea of having the sink on the outside in terms of plumbing, and making sure that that is in place. Obviously, we will have to look at that. There are some schools I know of, one secondary school that actually has an outside structure where you actually have a tap, so they're saving on hand sanitizer, because as the medical persons are saying constantly, that soap and water is the best thing to use. The hand sanitizer is only if you cannot use soap and water. So yes, we will save on the hand sanitizer if we do have such structures in place, but that will be in terms of running pipe, and we will have to look at the logistics of doing that. There are some schools where there are pipes situated near to the entrance that you could actually utilize, so persons can actually have somebody there supervising that hand washing, teaching them the hand washing. We told teachers at the beginning when they go in next week to make sure that they demonstrate these things to the children, how to take your mask off, how to put it on, how to wash your hands properly. We've been hearing all of the PSAs out there about what we need to do. We've been seeing it, but we are demonstrating it. And that is why we have posters posted throughout the school. UDSF, again, as I told you, would have shared these posters with us, would have printed them for us. We have brochures going home to the parents to tell them what they need to do as well in terms of teaching the children the right thing. If the child is feeling sick, do not send it to school. If you are feeling sick as an adult, do not send it to school. We've made sure that every school has a thermometer. Again, this is something donated through UNICEF. So they have the infrared thermometer. So we are taking the temperature. And the temperature is not only for the children. The temperature is for every adult that enters that compound. Teacher, members of staff, visitor to the school compound. So that we do not put anybody into what an area that we have sanitized that would be ill, that has a fever, I should say, and you can have a fever for several different reasons. So that is what we are monitoring, and that's what we are putting in place. So yes, the outside taps and pipes for hand washing would be cheaper than purchasing hand sanitizer. The hand sanitizer or the alcohol, those are just substitutes if you can't wash your hands.
Excellent. Good memory, but we expect nothing less than from the chief education officer. The board is full, so I got to take some calls. We'll pause on the messages, but let's go straight to the lines and say a good morning and welcome to our next caller.
Peace be on to you, Corey.
And on to you as well.
The staff, the distinguished guests. Ma'am, and the listeners, my concern is about the primary and the day nurseries, health-wise, cleaning of the washrooms and, you know, as in the day nursery, the children will be down on the floor and playing. And as your according to one that you read out where the lady said, as small children, they don't know the protocol, so they'll be up in each other. But my concern is if you'll be having people check in often to check to see if these washrooms and if these people are doing what they're supposed to do. Because I have grands and great-grands who'll be going to school and nursery. And I really worried a whole lot. Okay.
All right. I understand the caller. Yes, a lot of people are worried. Now, the day nurseries don't fall under the Ministry of Education. They're under the Child Care Board. But I am aware, I would have had a discussion with the Deputy Chief Health Officer, Mr. Chapman, and they are looking at the day nurseries. I think they're doing a lot of training with the aunties. And the ancillary staff will be doing the cleaning. For the school situation, we have schedules that are posted in the bathrooms. And at the secondary level, we have the secretary treasurers. And at the primary level, we have the principals and the senior teachers. We have actually made sure that every school has a health and safety committee. We did training last week with all of our janitors through the Ministry of Health. We did training with our Health and Safety Committee chairman through the Ministry of Labor, and we are making sure that persons understand what they have to do and persons are monitoring. I am well aware that the Ministry of Health will be closely monitoring all of our schools and, of course, all of the day nurseries. So we are making sure that they're sanitizing. And the reason that we have the class fours going in only half day is so that we have that afternoon session for full sanitization of the entire area. When the child comes into school, they are sitting in the same desk in the same chair for the next 4 weeks. and they are remaining in those areas and they're sanitizing. If parents want to have extra, to be extra cautious, you can provide even with your own wipes that before the child sits, they sanitize, they wipe off their chair and they wipe off their desk. That is your choice. But we have made sure that there are protocols in place, and a lot of schools have extra parents who are there. We have the parent volunteers from the schools coming back to assist. So we are putting everything in place for these 4 weeks. And obviously, we will be tweaking when we realize if there's an issue. And I'm making the plea out there now for Barbados, all those who are listening. If you see something that needs to be corrected, if you have suggestions, you are free to inform the ministry. My email address, I know it might be flooded with a lot of email addresses, but we have jadamson@mes.gov.bb or CEDO, Chief Education Officer, CDEO@mes.gov.bb, and we will try wherever possible to put things in place. You can tell your class teacher, you can tell the principal, so that we will make sure this is fluid. We've always saying it's a fluid situation. We're learning. So we will be accepting any advice that we have out there as we move forward.
Okay, a question here. If for instance, someone turns up to a school and they have a very high temperature, what is the protocol and what is the expectations? Do we have the facility and area to quarantine them there? What is the procedure from there and what can people expect in that event?
All schools have been told, and correct, I hope that it, persons would have had the guidelines that we would have sent out. It did go viral, and we sent it to every member of staff, every student, and every parent. And we have a protocol in place if somebody is unwell. Every school has a quarantine area, and in that quarantine area, we have the numbers where we would be expected to call. By now, everybody knows 536-4500 as the hotline or the closest medical facility, because we know there's some polyclinics that would have the personnel there who can give the advice. But if we have anybody who presents with a high temperature, if it's an adult, we would tell them to seek medical attention. If it is a child, we would put them in that quarantine area. As I said, we have that mask, that we disposable mask that we will put on that child, and we will call the parent and we will tell them to seek the medical attention. If it's extremely high and we have symptoms that we're thinking that could be COVID related, we will call the hotline number. The principal or the teacher assigned will call that hotline number so that they will be told what to do about the particular child or the particular individual, because it could be a teacher as well who might be showing these symptoms. So we must follow the guidance of the Ministry of Health and Wellness as to what to do if someone is sick and how we can quarantine them. We have brochures that we'll be sending home with every child, and they'll be getting them between Monday and Tuesday. That would also give the guidelines if you're unwell, what would happen.
Okay, it's just gone noon in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and you're listening to Brass Tax Sunday with the Chief Education Officer as she outlines the guidelines for the safe reopening of our schools. Brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, we say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. Yes, please. Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, good afternoon. I have several questions. To start with, I understand the primary and the secondary schools are open to some extent to facilitate exam preparations. In terms of the early childhood nursery schools, what provision is being made for parents to be able to register those children at those institutions for the next academic year? That's my first question.
All right, let's take them one by one.
Okay, no problem. Yes, I try to have a good memory. Thank you, ma'am, for the registration. And it's not only for nursery schools. I think it is for any school in terms of registration. If you have not yet received the registration form, do have on the ministry's website, mes.gov.bb, the email addresses for all of our schools, and you can email the particular school that you're looking at, and they will tell you how to get the registration form, and then you can forward from there. If you are not getting through, again, please email Chief Education Officer, CECO@mes.gov, and I will assist as best possible. Okay, thank you. Number two, traditionally, the time between the children sitting the common entrance exam and getting back results is on average about 4 or 5 weeks. If they're setting exam on the 14th of July, it means that if we're working with that same time frame, results will not come back to mid-August. Right now, I'm working on the assumption that the next academic year will begin on the 1st of September and that the children will go back into school at the beginning of the second week of September as per usual. Bearing that in mind, it places parents who have children who are transitioning at a serious disadvantage in that it means that they have approximately 2-3 weeks to get everything that his or her child would need for that transition. I've said all of that to ask if there is an anticipated time frame in which the common entrance results will be returned.
Okay, I think this listener missed earlier what we said, is that we're aiming for early August and that the ministry will control the date for the reopening of school. Obviously, because of how things have happened, it can't be the usual dates that we had set out before.
Okay. All right, I missed that earlier on. Maybe that took place while it was holding on. But thank you. I also asked, where will common entrance exams be written? We know traditionally the children make their way to secondary schools. We've also been advised that we're not supposed to have more than 10 per room, basically. So are these children, considering they're already placed at what I think is a disadvantage, they're tired by now, the zeal for some of them may have died, you know. Everyone has their own constraints at this point in time. So I'm asking, where it's possible, will the exam be written at their primary school, or will they still have to make their way to the secondary school as in years gone by?
Okay, well, we have several options for where we will be writing the examinations. Now that the country is open, we will be sitting down, and this week that will be communicated to the schools where the exam will be written. As you can appreciate, we have several, over 100 and something primary schools, and that would entail invigilators at each of those centers. So that was one of the main reasons. It was actually at the secondary school before, where we can control 21 centers. Now we are talking about 100 and something centers. So by the end of this week, we should be able to communicate that to the teachers and to the students where the child will be writing the exam.
Okay. Has any thought gone into what our new classroom would look like? I'm working on the current notion of 10 per room. In light of the fact that the social distancing, the 6 feet distancing, that kind of thing is expected to happen, it can work fine now that we're dealing with maybe 1 year group in the primary schools, maybe 2 year groups in the secondary schools. But when we put the entire student body into the building in which they belong, the 6 square feet sounds somewhat impractical. So has any thought gone into how we will proceed as it relates to our immediate future?
Yes, you said our, so that was the end there. Moving forward, yes, we have to have that discussion, and that has to be a discussion with all stakeholders, with the unions, with the teachers, with the parents, Ministry of Health. And so that discussion is something that we have to start very shortly, because obviously soon from now is September. Yes. And the blink of eye, it will be September. And I know that some schools are very concerned about timetables. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we are going to have to set up very shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'll try next. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, I just want to address some issues because as a parent of a primary school child in a private school, and as a parent of a secondary school child as well, and a teacher myself, you know, I'm just having some concerns or issues because facilitating my son when he is online, which is twice a day, is fine because I have to spend the time because he's only 6 years old. When it comes to the secondary school child, you don't have to monitor as much. She will come to me when she wants to. But then as a teacher myself, how then do you balance your time? Because twice a day I have to be addressing with my son or I have to be there with my son while he's online with his teacher. I have to teach my lessons. Then I have to still monitor my secondary school child as well. That's one. As it relates to the primary school, I can tell you from my son's end, his online teaching has been going extremely well, extremely well. And I will go kudos to the teachers and the staff at his school. Sometimes I would hear, because my investment is because I am paying for my son's education, you can imagine that I am making sure that I sit with him and that he has the necessary tools and everything like that, sign on online when he's supposed to. From a perspective of some of my colleagues who are in primary school, some of them have said to me that sometimes you would see only two children out of an entire class online. Sometimes then they would say homework isn't being done. You would send a message to the parent or you would send a message to the teacher, another teacher or the year ahead, and yet still nothing. You will see no response. You will not see any assignments being done. So then how do you go about it? Because if every child is supposed to be no child left behind, that's our policy, what happens then or what is being done? Because it's being reported to year ahead, it's being reported to parents, but yet still in some cases there's no response or nothing that's being done for them.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the secondary school, this is a public secondary school, is going well, is what I understood from the caller. Mm-hmm. But it was the private primary that she had the concerns about.
No.
No? The other way around?
It's the reverse, yes, please.
Oh, okay. And did you speak to the principal of the school?
It is not my school. My daughter, everything is going well with her classes, but I'm saying from some of my colleagues, that we're having the difficulty whereby assignments are not being completed. Sometimes you have, out of a class of 20, you have two children online scheduled, for the scheduling of the class, two children are actually signed on.
Oh, so you're saying the challenge is the class with the children actually signing on.
Yes, that has been
reported. And we, again, that is for the parent because we can't control what happens in the household. So that is for some form of monitoring. And I think the challenge is, especially when there are secondary school students, maybe even at the form three or form four, where they might be left a little bit on their own and not supervised as the younger ones would be. And that is a challenge that we are having. And it is something that we will have to put our heads together to see how we could actually get around it. But I don't know that we have the answer now for how we can get those children to actually log on. And most of the time, it's not that they don't have a device or that they don't have Wi-Fi, but it is just that they're left on their own and they're not to say, okay, we don't have to sign in. What can they do for me? You know, some persons jokingly would say, put me in detention. But that is something that we have to look at because they're the ones that are losing out and they're the ones that will suffer at the end.
In total agreement with you, because then what happens then in September, if school reopens in September, those children would then be behind. So if we'll be always and catch up, if you want to call it that, as teachers and as students.
Yeah. And that was why, ma'am, initially when we put the guidelines out, we said that we really shouldn't have new material being taught because for two reasons. One, the persons who could not sign on because they didn't have electricity, they didn't have a device, they didn't have Wi-Fi. And two, because everybody might not sign on. So hopefully when we come in September, however form we actually have, people will realize, well, this is serious now, and if I really care about my future, that this is what I actually have to do. And while I'm on this, I really want to say kudos before I forget to the Barbados Light and Power for assisting us, because there were some students who didn't have electricity and they came on board and they were able to rectify some of the problems that we actually have. Likewise, Digicel would have provided us with SIM cards so that persons who didn't have Wi-Fi, they could either use their phones as hotspots or have devices with the SIM card. But ma'am, I understand the challenge, and it is something that as educators, we will all have to sit down and try to work out how we will get around that.
I agree with you totally. I just want to make one comment. You just made the, you just said that in terms of the recommendation that nothing new should have been taught during this time. I understand that revision is important because then you will then cement concepts that have been taught. But in my opinion, imagine 12 weeks without new concepts being taught.
Yeah.
So that is going to be very, very difficult on a teacher because
yeah.
you have to now teach the concepts that should have been taught in the previous year group and also then to teach the concepts for your year group. I know we're not in our norm. We're not have anything to do our normal way we live. But at some point in time, some new concept must be taught to take the child forward because revision is fine. But if you can continue revision, yes, a child will grasp the concept. Yes, you'll grasp the concept and you go over and over and over. But then it also becomes very monotonous and boring.
Yeah.
Because I know this topic already. I know my teachers are going over this, going over this, going over this all the time. It's fine.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, there must be some new concept being taught.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And I thank you, too, for your comments. Now, this one is long, but it is very interesting, so I'm going to try to go through this one. Sounds like coming from a teacher's perspective here. And it says, good afternoon. With respect to the parent whose primary school teacher has not, we should say probably primary school student, has not seen the teacher online, and the chief's response that she will investigate. One, most teachers are using their personal laptops, some of which have crashed. Two, some did not have personal laptops and were unable to obtain any due to financial issues, and the principals and the Ministry of Education were informed. Three, some are using laptops given to them by the school, but the laptops are not working well and keep crashing. Question to the chief. What is the ministry's role in providing teachers with instruments which are required for them to carry out their duty, specifically as it relates in the present environment, the provision of laptops? It goes on to ask more, but let's deal with that one first.
Okay. The ministry has indicated to the principals to indicate to us if there was any teacher with challenges as it relates to the devices that they were using. And wherever possible, we tried to replace those devices. So I would have hoped in that case that the devices were replaced. I know that there is a challenge with a particular type of device that some schools actually were using, but we are trying wherever possible to give the teachers the tools that they need to do the work that we are expecting them to do. So I am sorry that that teacher did not get a device that was working well, but we are hoping that we will be able to correct that moving forward so that they would have the instruments. When they're teaching, we will give them the necessary tools to carry out the tasks that they actually have to do. But I think that the parent that would have called in earlier said that not once did this see. So it is okay if you turned on in the morning and then it froze or then you couldn't get back on. But the parent, the caller said, not once did this see, and I find it strange that within this period of time that the teacher did not want to interact synchronously with that class.
It goes on to say, teachers are not unreasonable. They understand that all ministries are suffering from financial issues, and they may not be able to provide all teachers with laptops at the moment. But certainly, there needs to be a discussion where the ministry states how they will work with those without and who are unable to purchase. Also, in terms of a sustainable plan to ensure that all teachers have laptops, what about one, the ministry providing an allowance for teachers to purchase instruments to carry out their job, whether it be chalk, Bristol board, photocopy and paper, laptops, etc. And two, the ministry saying to teachers, we've partnered with a particular store or company, go and choose your laptop of your choice, and we will work with you to pay half of the cost of the laptop, and the teacher pay the other half.
I am not too sure if this is a feature in our public system, but we would have shared with the unions that we are looking at loans to assist persons with achieving, with acquiring their own personal device. But so that is separate from the personal device versus giving us the tools. So that is something that we have already been in discussion with the Ministry of Finance as to how the loan system will work. And I know that we would have shared this information with the union, and we will make sure that once that is finalized, that is shared with all teachers as well so that they're aware.
Okay, excellent. Let's move on. Good afternoon and welcome. Brass Tacks Sunday, you're on the air. If you're now joining us, we are talking to Chief Education Officer, Mrs. Joy Adamson. From the Ministry of Education, we're talking about the guidelines for the safe opening of our schools, and we have her as our special guest. Good morning and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, please. Good afternoon. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
My concern is about the getting and returning home. Now, in school, all the protocols are going to be enforced. But persons traveling on public transport, which now will be increased about 95%, the only thing they are going to be having is a face mask. Now, isn't there any concern about the other protocols?
I don't know if we would have discussed that already, but for reiteration, I would let the Chief Education Officer answer again.
Okay, well, you know, that's what teachers do. We reinforce. So the more often we say it, the more persons we get. Generally, we expect that parents will be teaching their students the protocols as it relates to traveling on the bus. There are certain protocols that all of the omnibuses and the minibuses and the transport board buses, they are supposed to follow as how persons are supposed to sit and what they're supposed to do. So what we will want is if your child has to take public transport, that you make sure that they understand what is expected of them while they are in the public transport, the vehicle, and then when they alight from the transport. I would want parents to have a small bottle of hand sanitizer with their children for each of their child, each of their wards or their children, that they will be able to sanitize their hand when they get off that minibus. They will be sanitized when they reach the school. So we're opening up again, but I am sure that there are still protocols as to how you're supposed to travel on the bus. We said earlier that we're in discussion with the transport board about this safety officer or whatever we're going to call the officer, if it's going to be a parent, if it's going to be a security guard on the bus. But we want to make sure that if you have to go to town now to purchase anything, there are certain protocols you have to practice. Practice these 10 and 11-year-olds also, and even the ones at the CXC level, to follow the same protocol.
What I'm talking about is the social distancing, the physical distancing. Now, they said that from Monday, the transport vehicles are going to go back up to about close to 100%. So how are you going to practice physical distancing in a vehicle?
When the child is on the bus, what I'm recommending to you is that the child does if they're sitting next to somebody that they do have that mask on, and once they come off of that bus, that they do this sanitizing. I don't have the specifics as it relates to the protocols on the bus, but I don't know if you want to have a discussion with me afterwards that we can work out where this child is living and how he actually has to get to school so that we can see how something. So I don't know if Mr. Lane, you can take that caller's number. I'm willing to talk to him.
Sure, no problem. Caller, please stay on the line. Well, call back and give your number to the producer, please.
It's just sorry, I wanted to say something. I remember there was a teacher who called about the devices. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we had said for schools to do, if you were having a challenge with your device, that you could actually go to your school and operate from your school. We actually said earlier, if you didn't want to go to your school, depending on where it was, that you could actually operate from a school near to you. Once mm-hmm. you tell that principal, they would have opened their IT lab or even a classroom once the Wi-Fi was strong enough for persons to operate from that school compound using the device at the school.
Right. Certainly, we have to be creative in these times. And that's one of the things that's supposed to distinguish human beings from the other animals to make sure our survival. Because we also have community centers and stuff which would have been outfitted with computer labs for training and stuff like that. So I'm sure that we have to use everything at our disposal within reason to achieve the objective intended. So just gone 23 minutes, afternoon, 7 minutes before we take the latest from the Starcom Network News. We'll say hello and welcome to our next caller. In the meantime and in between time, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. First time calling is Thunder Brass Sats.
Well, welcome to the party.
Yes, thanks very much. But I have two issues, really. Two things. Someone asked about the education, if there are inspectors within the private school system. I don't know what happens now, but I know I'm pretty young, but I was raised by my grandfather who was in education. And he, years ago, was an inspector for at that time they called it the independent secondary schools, which were the private secondary schools. So I would assume they should, but that question was not answered. So I'm wondering if they still do have people dealing with the inspectors dealing with education, with the private schools. But my next point is...
But then we'll pause and let her answer in case it slips again. Let's deal with that one first.
Mm-hmm.
So, ma'am, go ahead.
Yes. So we have education officers who'll be monitoring what's happening at the schools, both private and at public schools as well. And we have done audits at private schools. And when anything is brought to our attention, we will engage with the private schools as well.
Okay, thank you. My next issue is, I find that in our system, we seem to be adverse to letting children repeat a year. And it comes to mind with the issue about the teacher that talked about children not signing in some things to class and that they would be the losers. But I find that we have a system that we feel that children must be in a class at a certain age, whether they can do the work or not. And I don't see why we can't look at letting some children repeat the year. It would have killed them. It didn't kill. It happened to me in fourth form at secondary school. And it was a blessing in disguise. But I'm saying that why do we feel that a child must be in class four at 11? I had a friend that pushed to defer his child in 11 plus, and he met so much opposition from teachers. And I think that if things are being done, we know to the way to provide tablets who are shortfall, NGOs, private persons, parents who may even go and take up money that they didn't plan to do, and children are not taking advantage of it, teachers need to be able to make a decision on if the child deserves to go up to the next year, because it makes sense letting children do over a year, go forward and don't know the work. And there seems to be always an opposition to we stick to this rigid thing about being in class one at a certain age. And saying, yes, that's an average, but I think, you know, and teachers know children develop at different ages.
Yes, so I'm agreeing with you, sir.
Repeating the year if they are behind in this current environment.
But at this stage, sir, we don't have any promotional exams at the end of this year. I know that there are some schools that are looking at the performance of the children for the first two terms, and we're leaving it to the school. So I don't think that there's any school that's saying that they are not repeating or persons are repeating. So I'm saying that that is something that schools do on a regular basis, and I don't think that they will change. In this environment, they're quite a several schools who already said that they're looking overall at the performance of the children. And we are not saying that everybody will be going up because we will see how they're performing.
Well, excellent way to look at that. And we look at that and other things when we come back here with our special guest, Mrs. Joy Adamson from the Ministry of Education. We now join the Starcom Network News for the latest on this Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.